It's about a girl who doesn't know quite where she fits in life, and she feels she fits a long way from her home. She grows up in Cambridge and she believes she belongs more in Japan. She's quarter Japanese and three quarters English. She goes to visit her ex-manga artist grandfather in Japan when she's having a tough time at school and at home, and she gets caught up in the 2011 earthquake and tsunami. And it's really a story about how we deal with huge unforeseen crises in life, topically.
And this is a collaboration between the two of you. How did that come about?
I was tasked with finding an illustrator. The publisher and I really wanted it to be a Japanese artist, someone who'd bring a real, authentic Japanese manga quality. And through a mutual friend, actually in Cambridge, another cartoonist called Emma Viacelli, she said, try Chia, she's great. And I got in touch with Chia, and maybe Chia can take it up from there.
Yes, my old friend told me there was someone who was looking for the Japanese art manga artist. And then at first I was a bit worried about everything, but I had a like really nice conversation with him, and then I decided, okay, I should take it.
And why did you decide that you needed those illustrations? Because you could have told the story either in pictures or words. Why did you decide to do it both ways?
I've just come off doing another illustrated book, and I've just become really interested in the idea that sometimes images can carry a story more strongly than prose, or at least as strongly. And because this had a theme of a manga artist character, it just seemed like an interesting challenge. And it's one of two threads of stories. So one thread is told in prose. The tricky part was trying to work out which part was going to be in manga and if it would work. But as soon as I saw Chia's first drawings, I thought this is going to be all right.
What about you, Chia? When the offer came through, did you think this could be a story told all in pictures?
I've never worked with this way. I always do whole book as a illustration, manga style. But I thought it might boost each other's points. It's really worked well. It's actually a good thing because it's a pick up the best thing about both the written language and also drawing. So it's the two best things together. So why not?
How do you read the book? Do the words supplement the pictures supplement the words? Are they two different stories? Do they run at the same time?
The prose is really giving a linear story of something that happens to our lead character, Yuki. And then the manga is telling something that is happening more, or at least half in imagination. I really wanted this to be a book about how we use creative imagination when we face monumental crises or problems in life, and if it's a device that can help lift you through, for example, pandemics.
And this is a book about a very difficult, very painful subject. How did you go about approaching it? I mean, there are so many elements to this subject, as well as a whole load of grief, I would have thought.
Well, it's interesting because, I think it's left such an emotional scar, even for people who weren't directly caught up in the wave itself. And I have a lot of friends in Japan and friends in Fukushima City, not far from the radiation. And as soon as it happened, I just thought this is a colossal, almost unimaginable event. You only have to look back at a few bits of video from it. It's something almost beyond imagination. And so I wanted to write it incredibly respectfully, obviously, but also about how we face things that are almost too big to process.
None of my family or close friends didn't affect by that. But I was here in the UK and then hadn't had news and then watched news footage. And then I was actually really traumatized. So I stopped watching and reading about it. And actually, when Julian talked to me, I thought it was time for me to look what exactly happened and look why I'm deeply traumatized, even though I was not directly affected by anything. I cannot compare with the feeling with the people who really affected by the earthquake, but for me, working with Julian is a kind of therapy to face the fact something really disastrous happened to my country.
And in terms of research, how did you both go about finding out more about what happened?
Well, I was lucky, first of all, because I had very good friends in Fukushima City. And when the earthquake happened, for every day, I got long emails from my friend Bob and Tomoko there telling me exactly what it was like, what the fear of the radiation spill was like, what was happening to them, rumours on the streets about radiation and so forth. Then I knew I had to go, so I went twice to the Fukushima recovery towns to talk to people about how they coped and what they'd seen, and what, even just what did the waves sound like? What did the tsunami sound like for you? Because everybody's experience was almost unique. It was like, you know, 100,000 different disasters. We got to go on a very early version of a tour into the radiation exclusion zone, because so much research these days you can do on YouTube, but some things you can't feel. And I knew I had to go and stand in that space and try and see what it felt like. But it was a totally surreal experience, and very much like stepping onto the set of a sci-fi movie, and into these abandoned streets with wild animals running around and the Geiger counter ticking away in your hand. So that's what I did, and then tried to gather as many photographs and things, because I knew the illustrator, when we found the right illustrator, was going to need a lot of visual prompts.
At first, I thought it might be really hard for me to look through all the research and everything. And if I have to do my own research a lot, it might actually traumatize me again. But the thing is, when Julian told me he visited there again and again, and he made a lot of friends there, I feel I can trust him. Also, he's got a lot of informative photographs, emotional photographs. So I can start with seeing things and researching things through his research first. Then I can slowly approach to my own research. So I gained some courage to do my own research.
And what was the reaction in Fukushima, Julian, to the knowledge that you were writing a book about it? Did you tell people?
Yeah, I really wanted to get a clear... I almost wanted to get permission, because obviously this isn't my story. So I wanted to be really open and say to people, this is what I'm planning. What do you think? And everyone was really keen, because what a lot of people feel in Northeast Japan is they have been forgotten. So everyone said to me, yeah, please write this and tell the story in a new way. Well, as soon as I can, I will take physical copies of the book back and show them.
And Chia, in terms of illustrating, how do you illustrate the force of something like a tsunami and the invisibility of something like radiation? I mean, they're both different kinds of challenges, I would have thought.
Photographically realistic way to, you know, I cannot make that kind of illustration. I'm not that kind of illustrator. What I try to do is I try to recreate like atmosphere, or that I've never ever experienced that disaster physically, but it's through my research and through Julian research, and also through my imagination, I just imagine how it might sound of tsunami, like wave sound, but I think inside of you, it might be kind of total silence. That sound I can recreate on my drawing. I try to focus on what you hear, how you feel inside.
And I think you got it really well, because a lot of it felt to me like what I felt when I was out there in the radiation zone and so forth.
And I feel ashamed that I remember the tsunami, and I remember the, obviously there's a nuclear plant there, but that idea that they've been forgotten, I'd completely forgotten obviously about the effects of radiation and the long lasting effects of there. What is it like there now?
Slowly the exclusion zone is getting smaller and people are moving back in. And one of my main contacts in the town of Odaka, she was the first person to move back into her town on her own. And slowly things are being rebuilt, but still a lot of houses are empty. So when you walk around the towns at night, they really are quiet and still pretty strange places. There are parts that won't be inhabitable yet for quite a long time.
And COVID is very different, but in terms of dealing with a national emergency, something that puts fear into people, can you see the resonances of what happened there in what's happening here? Is there anything we can learn, do you think?
I think there is a resonance in that, particularly the radiation element, that you can't see it. You're not too sure initially, you know, what's going on. There's a risk all the time. But I think what really comes out of those communities is the togetherness. Everyone kept saying to me, we're not trying to rebuild our old lives, rebuild our old towns. We're trying to make a new community. And I think that's going to be really important, about aiming for a new normal as we sort of learn to live with this.
And the actual collaboration process itself, how did that work? Was it words first and then pictures?
I wrote the whole book with the manga written in a kind of script format. But then I really wanted to leave it up to Chia to change things and bring her creative vision to it. Because although I draw a bit, I can't do sequential storytelling. So I just hoped that I'd written a script that was illustratable.
He gave me a really well-written manga script. I found it comfortable with working with. Manga tended to have less panels in a page than Western-style comic. And he understood that, which made my life very, very easy, actually. Another thing is, even though he gave me a detailed script, he allowed me to explore, you know, change the pace and everything. So it was a lovely script to work with, actually.